before you see the beaches, before you taste the jerk, before the music even touches your skin, Jamaica speaks to something deeper inside you. This isn't just a tropical escape. This is where strangers become family, where healing lives in the sea, where culture breathes in every step. In this immersive audiobook journey, discover why travelers don't just visit Jamaica, they return changed. This is the story of an island that stays with you forever. Welcome to Caribbean History, Jamaica's irresistible spirit, why the world keeps coming back. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. From the moment the wheels touch down on Jamaican soil, something changes. It's not just the sun-soaked tarmac or the salty breeze drifting through the cabin's open door. It's something deeper, a hum beneath the skin. A pulse you didn't know was missing until it returned. Jamaica doesn't wait for you to discover her. She meets you at the gate, full of color, contradiction, and soul. Travelers often try to describe what they feel in that first hour. Some say it's the music vibrating in the air before they even reach the hotel. Others talk about the warmth, not the climate, but the people. The man pushing the luggage cart who calls you family. The woman braiding hair by the roadside who welcomes you like a long-lost cousin. It's not rehearsed. It's not hospitality training. It's heritage, alive and waiting. Jamaica is a mosaic of experiences layered in sunlight and shadow. And unlike many destinations that wear a mask for tourists, this island presents itself as it is, unfiltered, raw, and breathtaking. The natural beauty alone earns its reputation. Powder-white sand stretches endlessly along Negril's 7-mile beach, where barefoot laughter spills into the sea. In Ocho Rios, the roaring rhythm of Dunn's River Falls lures travelers to climb through cascading waters, hand in hand with strangers turned companions. The Blue Mountains rise like guardians in the distance, veiled in mist, cradling coffee beans considered among the best on earth. Every direction holds a new element, a beach, a forest, a river, a fire. But it's never just the scenery. Jamaica's spirit lingers in its flavor. And the food, oh, the food, is an orchestra of history. Scotch bonnet peppers ignite the jerk stands, their heat softened by cinnamon and smoke. Ackee, soft and golden, shares the plate with saltfish, a marriage of Africa and Europe born from colonial chaos. Every bite tells a story. Oxtail and rice soaked in coconut milk, breadfruit roasted over open flame, patties passed through taxi windows. The cuisine is a living document of survival, struggle, and fusion. Here, seasoning is not just spice, it's storytelling. Then there is the sound. Jamaica gave the world a heartbeat, a rhythm we didn't know we needed. Reggae didn't emerge from studio walls. It rose from zinc-roofed shacks and backyard jam sessions. It echoed through narrow streets and under bridges, a language of the people carved from truth. Bob Marley wasn't just a singer, he was a mirror, showing the world its reflection through melody. One love, they sing. And when you hear it in Jamaica, standing shoulder to shoulder with locals, it no longer feels like a slogan. It feels like law. But the deeper magic lies in what visitors can't capture in photos. It's the moment you walk into a small village and see children playing barefoot with a coconut shell as a football, laughing louder than you've heard in years. It's the way a Rasta elder speaks of the land, as if it were a parent, with reverence and warning. It's the quiet moment on a cliff in Portland when the sky bleeds gold into the ocean, and you realize you're not thinking about your phone, your inbox, your next meeting. You're just breathing. Fully. Finally. Even Jamaica's imperfections make it unforgettable. The island is not polished. It is not predictable. But in that unpredictability is truth. The pothole on the way to paradise. The rooster crowing beneath your window before dawn. The stranger who teaches you a proverb you can't stop repeating. Jamaica doesn't smooth the edges. It invites you to feel them. What brings travelers here may be the idea of paradise, the brochure image of a beach and a cocktail. But what brings them back is something more enduring. It's the depth, the contrast. The fact that Jamaica doesn't just offer relaxation, it offers remembrance. It reminds you that joy can be loud, even when money is scarce. That beauty can grow through struggle. That identity can be worn with pride, even when misunderstood by the world. Every experience, whether it's diving into a blue lagoon, dancing at a street corner sound clash, or sipping rum under a full moon, becomes less about escape and more about return. return to self, to rhythm, to stillness, to a world where community means something and time moves differently, where a stranger might call you sistren or brethren and truly mean it. This is why Jamaica remains a must-visit destination. It's not just a vacation. It's a vibration, an unshakable memory stitched into your senses. You don't just visit Jamaica. Jamaica visits you. And long after you've gone, she stays. In your music, in your meals, in the way your heart leans toward rhythm and your soul aches for sun. That's the truth behind the ticket, the passport stamp, the boarding gate. You leave the island, but it never leaves you. The first thing many visitors say when they return home from Jamaica isn't about the beach. It isn't about the weather. It isn't even about the food, though that too leaves its mark. No, what they talk about most is a feeling they can't quite name. Something in the air. Something they didn't expect. It begins the moment they arrive. Not in a dramatic, cinematic explosion, but in subtle ways that build upon each other, until suddenly, they realize something has shifted. The breeze hits different. The pace softens. The eyes of the people you meet, strangers, lock with yours in a way that doesn't feel transactional. It feels ancient, familiar. You might find yourself in a taxi from Sangster International Airport, the windows down, reggae humming from the dashboard, and your driver chatting freely about the last hurricane, the local cricket game, or his mother's stew peas. And as the road winds through hills or along the coast, the conversation deepens without warning. You're talking about justice, about life, about what happiness really is. Jamaica doesn't warm you up to these conversations. It drops you right in. There's something about this island that trusts travelers. It doesn't hide its scars. It doesn't put on a show. What you see is what you get. And what you get, if you're paying attention, is a lesson in how to live. Loud, honest, unapologetic, joyful, even when joy is inconvenient. That's what makes the traveler's experience in Jamaica unlike anywhere else. It's not just the visuals, though those are stunning. The colors pop with life. From the hand-painted shop signs in bright reds and yellows, to the shimmer of the Caribbean Sea shifting from sapphire to emerald as the sun arcs above. But more than what you see, it's what you feel that you take with you. Something internal gets rearranged here. Slowly, then all at once. You realize it when you're sitting on a stool in a beach bar made of driftwood and zinc, sipping a coconut straight from the husk, watching the sunset stretch across the water like a promise. A local leans in beside you, offers you a taste of rum, and asks you, "So, what are you really running from?" And it's not said with judgment. It's said with compassion, with curiosity, with that unshakable Jamaican knack for pulling truth to the surface, whether you're ready for it or not. Even the places themselves seem to carry that energy. In Kingston, the rhythm never sleeps, but it's not just nightlife. It's life, period. The music is in the streets, in the shops, in the way people move. It's an embodied expression of survival and joy, of faith and frustration. In Montego Bay, you get a mix of polished comfort and raw adventure. One minute you're in a high-rise hotel with all the amenities, and the next you're wandering into a jerk shack where the owner tells you how his grandmother taught him to cook using only fire and instinct. In Negril, the cliffs whisper stories, the water heals, and the pace of life slows until your watch becomes irrelevant. Then there's Port Antonio, quiet, poetic, sacred. Here, the tourists who find it often speak in hushed tones about what they discovered. Not just in the landscape, but in themselves. Time behaves differently in Jamaica. Minutes don't march, they sway. You forget what day it is. You forget the urgency. Your body unclenches. Your breathing deepens. The constant need to prove, to achieve, to perform, fades. In its place comes something rare, presence, a fullness of the moment, a return to rhythm, not of the city, but of the self. And the conversations, oh, the conversations. Jamaica is a storyteller's paradise. Every bartender is a philosopher. Every fisherman is a historian. Every street vendor has a poem disguised as a joke. Travelers don't just remember the attractions. They remember the voices. The taxi driver who talked about Haile Selassie as if he were still alive, the grandmother who told you her dreams were made of mango trees, the teenager who danced barefoot in the sand and told you, "Life's sweet when you know how to bend." It's that humanity that shocks people the most. Not because they didn't expect Jamaicans to be kind, but because they didn't expect to be seen so clearly by people who owed them nothing. In a world that often values pretense, Jamaica reflects you back in truth. Even departure feels heavy. The boarding gate feels like a betrayal. and long after you're gone, something lingers. The taste of ginger tea. The sound of patwa laughter. The scent of coconut oil on warm skin. The flash of color as someone walks by in a mesh Rasta tank top with shoulders broad from labor and a heart wide from wisdom. You realize it's not a postcard you're holding onto. It's a recalibration of the soul. This is why Jamaica remains more than a destination. It's a reckoning, a balm, a rhythm, a revelation. It's not where you go to escape the world. It's where you go to remember what living actually feels like. And once you've felt that, once you've been reminded, you'll understand why travelers don't just fall in love with Jamaica. They fall back in love with themselves. There are some places in the world where healing feels like a choice, something you book in advance, something you prepare for, something curated and packaged in polished rooms with soft spa music and cucumber water. And then there's Jamaica. Here, healing isn't something offered. It's something you remember. It greets you through the soles of your feet, the rhythm in your chest, the fire in your belly. It doesn't ask permission. It arrives. Most travelers don't come for that, at least not consciously. They come for vacation, for sand, rum, music. But somewhere between the first barefoot step on the beach and the last walk down the jet bridge to head home, something realigns. You feel it early, maybe during your first sunrise in Negril. The light spills across the horizon like melted gold, washing over the waves in silence. The sea, glass flat, stretches into a horizon that doesn't offer answers, only peace. You don't realize until then how long it's been since you watched the world wake up without checking your phone first. And when you finally inhale deeply, there's no resistance in your chest. Just air. Just space. The ocean in Jamaica isn't just a postcard. It's medicine. The salt doesn't sting, it pulls. Pulls the static from your spirit. Pulls the stories from your skin. You float in it not like a swimmer, but like someone surrendering to a deeper rhythm. And when you come out, the weight you've carried, the city noise, the deadlines, the heartbreak, the noise inside your own mind, feels distant. Smaller. Manageable. But it's not just the sea that restores you. It's the land. Deep inland, where tourists don't always go, the soil is thick and red and alive. It holds memory. It holds fire. You walk barefoot on it and feel it buzz beneath your arches, like stepping on something ancient and sacred. The forests here don't hum, they chant. Birds call out names you've never heard. Trees lean with stories older than empire. The leaves don't shade you. They wrap you. Protect you. In the hills of St. Mary, you might meet an old woman stirring herbs in a clay pot beside a zinc roof house. She doesn't have a sign that says healer. She just knows things. She can read your back pain by the way you hold your breath when you stand. She'll boil lemongrass and sarsaparilla for your stomach, turmeric and ginger for your spirit. No science journals. No degrees. Just wisdom passed down like gospel, from hands that have fed, buried, delivered, and cured entire generations. You don't need a yoga mat in Jamaica to find your center. You'll find it on a rickety veranda at dusk, when the breeze carries in the scent of smoked pimento and the sound of a far-off drum circle. You'll find it in the laughter of a child chasing a kite on a hilltop. You'll find it during a riverside pause, when your guide, who's walked you up rocky trails without shoes, asks if you want to just sit for a while. No agenda. No itinerary. Just silence and sunlight and time. And if you seek it, there are deeper paths. Ital Living, the Rastafari approach to clean spiritual consumption, invites travelers not just to eat, but to honor food. No salt. No meat. No preservatives. Just earth-grown sustenance made with reverence. You taste the clarity. Not in calories, but in vibration. One meal can make you wonder how long you've been ignoring your own body's voice. In Jamaica, even music becomes medicine. Reggae isn't background noise. It's balm. Its bass notes loosen what's stuck in you. Its lyrics remind you of truths you've buried beneath ambition and responsibility. The beat doesn't ask you to dance. It dares you to feel again. And yes, there are spas. There are massage therapists and detox retreats and thermal springs. But those aren't the healing Jamaica is known for. The healing here is older, wilder, freer. It lives in the sound of waves smashing against cliffs, in the rhythm of the machete slicing sugarcane, in the stillness of a mango tree holding its fruit like a secret. What you leave with is not a souvenir, not a bottle of rum, not even a tan. You leave with something you didn't plan for, a shift in your internal landscape, a reminder that you don't have to hustle every moment to be worthy. That laughter without context is still sacred. That joy is a revolutionary act. That wholeness isn't something you find in a city. It's something that remembers you in places like this. Jamaica doesn't offer healing as an escape. It offers it as a return to self, to rhythm, to truth. That's why so many visitors can't explain what happened to them here. They just know they came back different. If you're quiet long enough in Jamaica, you'll notice something strange. The walls speak. They don't whisper. They chant. They remember. They breathe. A mural on the side of a shop in downtown Kingston isn't just paint on plaster. It's scripture. Bob Marley, eyes closed, mouth mid-prayer. Marcus Garvey standing bold with a lion at his feet. Queen Nanny of the Maroons, fists clenched, eyes burning into the soul of the present. These images are more than decoration. They are anchors, reminders that culture here isn't a museum piece. It's a living organism. It moves. It resists. It welcomes. It evolves. That's what shocks so many travelers. They come expecting beach parties and jerk chicken. They leave having encountered a people who live their history out loud, who carry ancestors in their walk, who turn trauma into rhythm and resistance into art. On a humid afternoon in Spanish Town, you might stumble across a drum circle you weren't looking for. No signs, no tickets, no flyers. Just men and women gathered in a yard, palms slapping goatskin, bodies swaying in that trance-like motion that says, "This isn't performance. This is praise." Someone hands you a piece of yam. A boy passes by with a carved calabash full of bush tea. No one's putting on a show. They're remembering, through movement, through sound, through scent and flavor, who they are and who they've always been. Because Jamaica doesn't separate the past from the present. It folds it in. The Rastaman wearing his red, gold, and green tam isn't in costume. He's in communion. The woman singing a hymn in the market isn't just passing time. She's calling down something older than the stall she's standing in. And when elders speak, their words often come wrapped in proverb. "What is joke to you is death to me," they might say, and suddenly, you're no longer in conversation. You're in class. It happens in the music, too. A dancehall beat may feel like party fuel, but if you listen closely, really listen, the lyrics are layered. Commentary, lament, comedy, revolution, survival. The song might make your hips move, yes, but it might also make your heart ache. That duality is the Jamaican genius, to tell you the truth without preaching, to make you move even when the subject is war, betrayal, hunger, or exile. Even a walk through a street market becomes a cultural deep dive. Each stall holds something that speaks: hand-woven baskets, soap made from charcoal and lemongrass, red clay statues, carved wooden maps of Africa. A vendor tells you her father carved the one you're holding. She says he learned it from his grandfather, who never went to school but could draw the stars from memory. You ask how much. She smiles and shrugs. What's it worth to you? And suddenly, you're not buying something. You're honoring a chain of stories that stretches back further than you can trace. At Maroon festivals in the hills, the language changes, not just in words, but in tone. You hear Cromani tongues, Ashanti drums, names not found in textbooks. You eat food cooked in earthen pits, you smell herbs you've never seen in a grocery store, and you realize that freedom isn't abstract here. It's baked into the bread, sung into the lullabies, braided into the hair. Even in the churches, from revivalist sanctuaries with tambourines shaking heaven, to Catholic cathedrals where incense coils like ancestral breath, Jamaica's cultural life refuses to sit still. You don't just witness it. It pulls you in. Tourists often say they didn't expect to feel so involved. Not because anyone forced them into anything, but because Jamaica doesn't let you stay on the surface. A man gives you a tour of his grandmother's yard, and it turns into a conversation about sugar estates and land theft. A boy recites a poem outside a school gate, and you realize it's about migration and missing fathers. Even laughter here carries layers. It's not naive. It's knowing. Because this culture was built in the fire. From slave rebellions to street art, from stolen languages reimagined into patois, from the trauma of exile to the poetry of return, everything about Jamaica is defiant in its beauty. You don't come to Jamaica to observe culture. You come to be wrapped in it, to eat it, hear it, wear it, cry through it, and laugh so hard it cracks something open in you. And when you leave, you may not remember every word of that folk song or every step of that Kumina dance, but your body will. Your soul will. Because Jamaica doesn't just preserve its culture. It lives it. And if you're willing to slow down, listen, and feel, you'll live it too. No matter what first brought you to Jamaica, the beach, the music, the rum, the chance to exhale. It's not what stays with you when you leave. It's the people. Ask any traveler who's returned to this island more than once, and they'll tell you. It wasn't just the scenery that called them back. It was a face. A voice. A stranger who, somehow, felt like family. There's a kind of hospitality here that doesn't feel rehearsed. It isn't scripted, and it doesn't live inside the walls of a five-star resort. It's born in the streets, in the hills, in small yards filled with laughter and zinc fences, in beachside bars that turn into classrooms when the right person starts talking. You don't book it. You bump into it, and it changes you. Maybe it's the old man selling roasted peanuts at the stoplight who asks where you're from, then gives you a proverb that follows you home. Maybe it's the woman on the bus who watches you fumble with your coins and smiles, slipping the right fare into your hand without a word. Maybe it's the barefoot child who runs up to you on the beach, laughing with a freedom so full that you feel something in your own chest break loose. The people of Jamaica don't just speak to you. They see you. And not just as a tourist. Not as a wallet. Not as a passport. As a person. They notice things, the way you move, the way you hesitate, the way you smile, and they respond. Genuinely. Boldly. Without filter or pretense. They'll ask where you're going before you know yourself. They'll offer advice like your auntie back home. They'll cut through small talk like a machete, through cane, and get straight to the point. You running from something? You look tired, but not in your body, in your spirit. When was the last time you danced just because you could? It's not rude. It's not invasive. It's truth, wrapped in warmth, passed from one soul to another like tea shared in the dark. And the laughter, it comes easy here. Even in the midst of hardship, Jamaicans find a way to laugh that makes the air lighter. There's something disarming in their humor. Sharp, rich with double meaning, sometimes biting, but never cruel. It's the kind of humor that doesn't ignore pain. It knows pain, and it chooses to laugh anyway. As if to say, we've been through worse than this. So why not laugh while we live? You find yourself leaning in, asking more questions, listening longer. Because the people you meet aren't just polite, they're curious about you too. They want to know where your people come from, what your story is, why you carry that sadness in your eyes even while smiling. And when you answer, something sacred happens. They listen. You may find yourself in the back of a route taxi, crammed in beside a mother and her daughter, the driver blasting old-school Dennis Brown through speakers that rattle. You're a stranger, but someone still hands you a piece of fried breadfruit. The daughter tells you about her exam. The mother gives you the name of a river that no tourist guidebook mentions. You didn't plan this. And yet, it's the part of the trip that stays. In Jamaica, community isn't manufactured. It's lived. Everyone is an auntie, an uncle, a cousin. Everyone has someone watching out for them. And when you're here, even just for a short time, you become part of that net. You might be offered a plate, a ride, a story. Not because it's good business. Because it's who they are. Even in grief, Jamaicans invite you in. Funerals here are not quiet affairs. They are loud, full of wailing and singing and celebration. If you're nearby, someone might wave you over, hand you a drink, and say, come remember him with us. And you do. And by the end of the night, you know his nickname, what music he loved, and what jokes he used to tell. Because here, stories are never buried. They're told, retold, shared. And visitors are not excluded from that storytelling. They're welcomed into it, folded into the narrative like returning cousins who've simply been gone too long. You begin to understand why the return rate of travelers to Jamaica is one of the highest in the region. Because after a trip here, you don't just have memories, you have people waiting for you to come back. A fisherman who promised to take you out deeper next time. A cook who saved you the best piece of jerk pork. A driver who said, next visit, me show you the real Jamaica. And they mean it. You're not a guest. You're invested. And somehow, the island feels invested in you too. So when the plane lifts off and the coastline shrinks into a thread of green and gold beneath the clouds, a part of you stays. In a hammock on someone's porch. In the rhythm of a conversation by the roadside. In the voice of someone who called you family. And meant it. That's why people come back to Jamaica. Not just for the view. Not just for the culture or the cuisine or the sea. But for the kind of connection that no itinerary can plan. Here, strangers become family. And once you've tasted that, the world never feels quite the same again. There's a moment near the end of every Jamaican journey. After the beaches have been walked, the waterfalls climbed, the rum sipped, the laughter shared, when the traveler goes quiet. It might happen while sitting under a breadfruit tree, or standing in a slow-moving line at the airport, or gazing out at the sea one last time as the sun prepares to set. And in that silence, a single question floats to the surface. What just happened to me here? Because for all the ways Jamaica can be described, the food, the music, the people, the beauty, there's something else. Something no brochure can explain, no video can capture, no hashtag can touch. It's what makes someone cry on the last day of their trip and not know why. It's what makes someone cancel a flight home to stay just one more day. It's what draws people back, year after year, like there's something unfinished between them and this island. There is a magic in Jamaica that lives between the moments, in the pauses, the glances, the unplanned encounters. It's in the way the ocean doesn't just lap the shore, it breathes. As if the island and the sea are having a conversation that's been going on for centuries, and you're just close enough to hear a sentence or two. It's in the way the trees seem to listen, not just sway. The way the mountains don't just rise, they watch. Quietly, steadily. And then there's the light. It's not just tropical sunshine. It's the way that light hits the zinc rooftops and turns them silver. The way it bathes children playing in a yard like they're lit from within. The way it slides through the slats of wooden shutters in a guest house and paints shadows on your suitcase as you pack. Shadows that seem to whisper, "Don't go." You might try to photograph these things. Many do. But the pictures never look the way the moment felt. A snapshot can't catch the vibration in your chest when a Nyabingi drum starts to speak. It can't recreate the slow burn of Scotch bonnet on your lips mixed with laughter so pure you forget why you were hurting. It can't hold the echo of a stranger calling you my Ute, or me King, or me Sista. Names you didn't know you needed until someone said them with meaning. Because what's most unforgettable about Jamaica isn't loud. It's not the resort show, the all-inclusive buffet, the Wi-Fi, or the sunset selfies. It's the invisible thread that ties the physical place to something else. Something spiritual, something ancestral, something human and old and wise and soft. It's the woman you pass in the market who's humming a song your grandmother used to sing, though they've never met. It's the way a bonfire on the beach feels like a ritual, not a party. It's the goosebumps when a stranger tells you your energy reminds them of someone they loved and lost. It's how nothing here is perfect, and yet everything is whole. Jamaica doesn't need to polish itself for you to fall in love. It offers you the real thing, and lets you decide whether or not you're ready to receive it. And when you do, when you open your palms and let the island fill them, you realize something profound. You didn't just visit Jamaica. Jamaica visited you. It walked with you, listened to your spirit, and whispered answers you didn't know you were asking for. That's the part you don't post about. That's the story you struggle to tell when someone back home asks, "How was your trip?" You say it was beautiful. You say the food was great. You say the people were warm. But inside, something far deeper happened, and you guard it like a secret. That's what keeps travelers returning. Not just the view, not just the sound, but the feeling, the one that shows up unannounced, wraps around your ribs, and refuses to let go. You come to Jamaica for the sun. You return for the soul. You board the plane. The door seals shut. The engines rumble to life, and the flight crew moves through the cabin, politely asking for seatbelts and window shades. Outside, the island grows smaller, that stretch of green, gold, and blue, fading into cloud. And yet, it's still with you. Not just in your memory, but in your body. Like a song still playing in the background long after the radio's been turned off. You shift in your seat and feel it, the sand between your toes that's no longer there, the scent of grilled pimento still clinging to the sleeve of a shirt. You scroll through your photos, but none of them quite capture what happened. Because what changed wasn't just your location, it was your frequency. Jamaica has that power. It gives you everything out loud, the color, the rhythm, the spice, the heat, and then quietly it plants something deeper. A seed in your soul, a whisper in your chest that says, there's more to life than what you've been chasing. It may take weeks to realize what that whisper means. It may come while you're back at your desk, staring at a spreadsheet that suddenly feels painfully irrelevant. Or while you're walking to your car, and someone plays a Marley tune out of a passing window, and your eyes well with tears before you know why. What Jamaica offers isn't just escape, it's perspective. A mirror held up not just to the world, but to yourself. It shows you how people survive on less and smile more. How strangers can greet you like cousins. How rhythm can live in your walk. How joy, even when earned through pain, is worth more than any possession. You remember the man who built his house with his bare hands. The woman who sang in the rain because the crops needed it. The child who danced barefoot on the roadside, grinning with every bone in his body. You remember the faces, the voices, the truth of it all. Jamaica has a way of slipping past your defenses. You might have come with a plan, an itinerary, a list of sights to check off. But the island had something else in mind. It wanted you to feel, to slow, to listen, to let go. You weren't just a tourist. You were witnessed, held in a space where real still matters, where stories live in hands and eyes and music, where the breeze carries both history and hope in equal measure. You start to understand why this island birthed revolutions, philosophies, and rhythms that traveled across oceans. Why people here speak in metaphor, pray with drums, laugh like it's resistance, and cry with no shame. Because Jamaica is not a destination. It is a declaration. A reminder that culture isn't what you consume, it's what you embody. That beauty doesn't have to be flawless, it just has to be honest. That spirit, the real kind, is unshakable, even when everything else trembles. So yes, the plane will land. The days will move on. But Jamaica will remain. In how you speak. In how you breathe. In what you now choose to value. It will echo in the choices you make. To move a little slower. To greet strangers with warmth. To cook with more intention. To tell your story with more pride. Because once Jamaica meets you, she doesn't let go. She becomes part of your rhythm. A chord in your melody. A memory that feels more like a homecoming. And that, more than any resort, any sunset, or any headline, is why the world keeps coming back.